You may want to mark number 319. That'll be the song of invitation after our lesson this morning. If you're using your song books, you'll need to do that. Good to be here. Good to see everyone this morning. A beautiful day. And the weather is turning warmer. It's getting just beautiful outside. All the greenery, the flowers and everything. People getting out and enjoying the weather and the warmth. And so this morning we're going to discuss a subject that we, at least I feel like we need to talk about every once in a while to keep us in remembrance of the things that the scriptures teach regarding our activities. And this morning we're going to be studying the subject of apparel, wearing clothing. What kind of clothing should we wear? Does the Bible give us any instructions along these lines? So in a moment, I'm going to lead us in a discussion on this particular subject. But before I get into that, I want to make just a couple of quick statements. First of all, please do remember the Vacation Bible School that's coming up, and it's coming up really quickly. Just three more weeks now, and that's about it. So keep that in mind. We're going to be gathering to work during the week. I don't know how much is going on this next week, but the week after that, I think it's going to all have to be rushed and crammed into just a short time period. So certainly, if you're able to help, we would very much appreciate that. Secondly, talking to Hal this past week, back and forth through text messaging and things, and need to just continue to keep them in your prayers. And I took a text that he had, and I took it wrong, and I shared it with Denise and I think Donna and them and maybe Kelvin and Arla about Carol's mother. And Hal said that y'all were in Marlton waiting on the hospice representative with Carol's mother, and I just I'm sorry about that, but that's not the case. Carol's mother is okay, but she is going through a lot of difficulties and a lot of hardships right now as far as taking care of the sick and going through the loss, so please do keep them in your prayers. So Hal and Carol have been going through a lot, and as we said in class this morning, when it rains, it does seem to pour. So with those things being noted, do these clothes make me look, and of course, when I hear that question, I'm usually thinking about a woman asking if these clothes make me look big or fat or something like that. And I'd be a fool, you'd be a fool, my friend, if you answered that question, of course, saying yes, that would be very dangerous, wouldn't it? Wouldn't be very smart on your part at all. But, you know, we do recognize that clothing has an appeal to others. Our clothing makes statements to others. Our clothing influences what people think about us, how they perceive us. And we understand that consciously when we are dressing ourselves. When we are going somewhere, we are going to dress in such a way that, you know, we're going to be presentable. And there's nothing wrong with being presentable. Appearing before others as being well kept and arranged, and presenting ourselves in an orderly way. Nothing wrong with those things. But I'm afraid that our apparel sometimes says things that it should not say. And one of the reasons why our apparel sometimes says things that it should not say to others is because we want our clothes to say things that they should not say. Or at the very least, we do not plan and properly understand that our clothes do indeed say things about us. My question to you is, do these clothes make me look godly? Now, when I say that, I'm not talking about, do these clothes make me look godly because I've got this dress on, for example, if I was a lady, which I'm not. I'm not going to talk about transgenderism either or bathrooms or none of that. But let's just say that a woman, okay, she's dressed in this dress that looks like it was made in 1905. you know, hand sewn, and it's just every inch is covered of her skin, and she's got the big bonnet on the top of her head, and she thinks that that makes her look godly. Well, if that's her idea of needing to dress that way in order to be pleasing to God, to satisfy her conscience, so be it. But that's not what I'm talking about when I say dressing godly. Dressing godly does not mean that I have to look completely abnormal, out of place, and I stand out. Because in reality, the concept of modesty is just the opposite of that. The concept of modesty does not draw attention to itself. It doesn't say, hey, look at me. Hey, look how godly I am. That's not the purpose of our clothing. Although our clothing should and must represent the will of God. And by representing the will of God and dressing modestly, then, my friend, we will speak to others that we are godly. Not screaming it and shouting it with some weird or wild or very extreme conservative costume or clothing. But I want to begin in Genesis, the third chapter, and I just want to make a couple of quick points from this text. In Genesis, the third chapter, in verse 7, Adam and Eve, they had eaten the forbidden fruit. And it says in verse 7, and the eyes of both of them were open, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings. So they sewed these fig leaves together and made themselves coverings. Now, verse 10, it says, well, so he said, I heard your voice in the garden. Now this is Adam speaking to God, because God has come saying, where are you? He says, I was afraid because I was naked. Now this is after they had taken the fig leaves and sewn them on, sewed them together. And he still recognized himself as being naked. I hid myself. And he said, who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree of which I commanded you that you should not eat? And of course they had. You go down to verse 21 then, after God pronounces his judgment against them. It says in verse 21, also for Adam and his wife, the Lord God made tunics of skin that came from animals which died, implying there was a sacrifice made. An animal died because of Adam and Eve's sin. And made tunics of skin and clothed them. God clothed them. Now to me that's interesting. The Bible uses different terms in reference to man's apparel or lack thereof. And the term naked, as used here in Genesis chapter 3, does not necessarily mean, and I think is seen in the context, does not mean without anything at all on. Nothing but your birthday suit. That's not the term naked necessarily, although it's inclusive of that. Because Adam and Eve and God, all three, still recognize Adam and Eve as being naked, or calls them naked, even after they have sewn these fig leaves together and partially covered themselves. Kittle says, badly clad or not fully clad, lightly clad, little and Scott. So not sufficiently clothed is the idea. And so God made a tunic for them because what they had was not sufficient. And this tunic, according to J. Swanson, Dictionary of Biblical Languages with Semantic Domains, says that a tunic, that which is used here, the Hebrew word, means clothing as a covering more complete than loincloth, a basic garment reaching to the knees, and so a common garment for common wear and work, typically from the shoulders and to the knees. The Lord God made tunics to cover them. I was reading in one commentary yesterday about the reasons why God clothed them. And one was because, of course, practical purposes. They needed clothing to protect them from the environment, now that sin has entered the world. They didn't need that before. But now things have changed. And that, I can see and understand that. But I also want to submit to you that they were ashamed as they were, even with the fig leaves. And so this was to cover their shame. And God covered them himself. And that's what the text actually is dealing with, what it says. Also in the Old Testament, in Exodus chapter 28, verse 42, it speaks of linen trousers that were made for the priest. And they were to put this on underneath their garments, underneath their robes and everything else that they were to put on. Now, the linen breeches or garments would be hidden, of course, normally, but they would cover their nakedness. And it's interesting that the rest of the clothing that the priest had would not cover their nakedness. Of course, I think we all understand what that means, but it's interesting that also the requirement was from the waist to the thighs. And that was to be covered underneath everything else. So the high priest had this particular requirement so that their nakedness would be covered, so that when they went up on the steps to the altar that they would not be exposed. And of course, their robes would hang down all the way to their feet, so there's extra precaution taken, is the point that I'm trying to make, to cover man's nakedness. Okay, that's the Old Testament. And I want to just suggest to you, I don't have a ruler up here, and we're not going to go around measuring people's skirts, and we're not going to do that. But listen, I do want to appeal to you from this perspective. I want all of us to recognize and understand that God does expect us to think a certain way and to behave a certain way. God expects us to conform our thinking to His thinking, and He also wants us then to live in such a way that we would be a good example to others. And so it all begins, though, with the heart. It begins with us, because you know what, my friend, someone can dress immodestly. They can dress immodestly without taking their clothes off or skimping down on clothes, but having too many things on. And not only that, you know, if people are dressed in appropriate attire, they can still be immodest by the way that they behave. Why? Because the inside is what's really important. Because what is inside, as Jesus said, if the inside of the cup is clean, what about the outside of the cup? It'll be clean also. So the real emphasis is going to be on the heart. Now notice what Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 3, beginning in verse 1. Wives, now he's dealing with wives who have ungodly, unbelieving husbands, and how they are to approach them, and how hopefully they can convince them and convert them through their life. And in verse 2 he goes on, when they observe your chaste conduct, when your husband observes your chaste conduct accompanied by fear, do not let your adornment be merely outward, arranging the hair, wearing gold, or putting on fine apparel. Rather let it be the hidden person of the heart, with the incorruptible beauty of gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. I want to say to you that we ought to be revealing. There are some things about us that ought to be revealed. And we do reveal things by our clothing. Not the flesh, but our character. Our humility. Our concern for others. And our love for God. All that should be expressed, should be revealed by the way we behave, by the things that we say, by the things that we do. Those things need to be put forth as examples to others. Our apparel is a part of that. Now, when Peter says, do not let your adornment be merely outward. That, by the way, the word merely there is in italics. It was added by the translators of the New King James translation. And I do believe that it correctly helps us understand what the Apostle Peter is saying. Peter's not saying that it's sinful to put on gold and fine apparel or arranging the hair. That's not what he's saying is sinful in and of itself. What he's saying is we need to focus on the inner beauty, that is, a godly life, a godly character. That is the important thing, the hidden person of the heart is to be our focus. Now, something else about this concept, in Titus the second chapter, although he doesn't mention clothes specifically, the idea is clearly associated and inferred. In Titus 2 and verse 3, Paul there says, the older women likewise, that they be reverent in behavior. Reverent in behavior. In other words, how are they going to live their life? With reverence, that is, with respect to God and His will. They're going to demonstrate in their actions and their words and their clothing a godly life. Not slanderers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they admonish the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet. There's another term. Chaste. There's another term. Homemakers, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be blasphemed. Because, you know, my friend, when we act out of harmony with God's will, what we're really saying is God's will is not worth me following. God's will is not worth me obeying. And in reality, in actuality, I am blaspheming God by my deeds, by my actions, or by my words. Now, the term discreet and chaste, we're going to see those words as we look a little closer now into the main passage of the morning. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 9 and 10, where the Apostle Paul says this, in like manner, also that the women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with propriety and moderation, not with braided hair or gold or pearls or costly clothing, but which is proper for women professing godliness, with good works. What is Paul saying here? What does he mean by modest apparel? What does he mean when he uses the terms propriety or shamefacedness, the King James says, or moderation? Not with braided hair, gold, or pearls. Is it wrong to wear braided hair or gold or pearls and costly clothing? It's interesting, we've had two apostles mention this in a negative light. Verse 10, okay, what about the need to profess godliness? Well, if we're going to live for God, certainly we must profess godliness by the way that we live, by our works, by our deeds. First of all, let's start with the term modest, modest apparel. Now, Paul does tie that, modest apparel. The Greek word for modest means that which is respectable, that which is honorable, that which is orderly, well-arranged, or decent. Aren't Gingrich and W.E. Vine. Also, Trench makes this point. The well-ordering is not of dress and demeanor only, but the inner life's uttering indeed and expressing itself in the outward conversation. If you clean the inside of the cup, the outside of the cup is going to be pure also. It's going to be clean also. That is the point, because the term modest does deal more with our character, more with our attitude, than it does with something external to ourselves. Modest apparel, then, would be, as Trench would say, the dress and the ordering of our presentation to the world, a real and true representation of the condition of our heart. Is it godly or not? The People's New Testament commentary says, in simple attire which doesn't attract attention. You know, the term modest, let's say that, you know, I paid you a compliment, how beautiful you were. I tell Denise all the time, or probably not enough, but I probably should say it more, but she's beautiful. To me, she's always been beautiful. And I say that, and she says, shut up. You're crazy. You're blind, or something like that. You know, and my response, well, she's just being modest. She's just being modest. What do I mean by that? She's being reserved. She's humbling herself. She is being modest. Modest apparel. Modest apparel doesn't say, hey, look at me. Just the opposite, right? In simple attire, which doesn't attract attention. An appearance that is simple, moderate, judicious, and free from ostentation. Christians must be careful about letting a pagan culture set their fashions. That's from the Bible Knowledge Commentary. Now, modest, then, I think we could sum up with these terms. They all kind of mean something different, but yet they all go together in representing this term. Reserved, humble, respectable, decent, orderly. And then if we look at those terms a little bit closer, the concept of reservation. What does that mean? It's reserved. It's more conservative. It's laid back. It doesn't get out there. You know, more and more young people especially are wearing things and doing things that say, hey, look at me, how unique and how different I am. And there's nothing wrong with being unique because we all are. There's nothing wrong with being different because we all are. But what is it that makes me want to stand out in the crowd? What is that? It's pride. What were we talking about in Bible class this morning? Pride. God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Humble. One who is willing to yield and submit to God's will. It's not about me. It's not about my way. It's about God. It's about God's way. It's about yielding to Him. That which is respectable. People who are always trying to push the boundaries with what they are wearing or what they are doing, you know, they're not being respectful of those around them. Decent. Now, I understand and I realize that which is decent, you know, depends on time, it depends on culture. Sometimes it's what the society says is decent. And today, you know what? Concept of decent just doesn't have much meaning to it at all. But we cannot allow the culture to not only affect how we dress ourselves, but also we cannot allow the culture to cause us to lose our godliness and our godly view of what is right and what is wrong and what is decent. Orderly. It's maintained. It represents a person who is put together, but it doesn't say, hey, look at me. It is appropriate. It's appropriate. With propriety. Paul goes on. He uses this word propriety, shamefacedness in the King James. The Greek word is eros, which means a sense of shame or modesty. As Vine says, shamefacedness is that modesty which is fast or rooted in the character of the person. Eros means bashful, reverence, regard for others, respect, fear, a sense of shame. And as Carl read earlier from the book of Jeremiah chapter 6, in fact, Jeremiah also mentions this in chapter 8 and verse 12, the people have forgotten how to blush. They do not have any shame when it comes to that which is ungodly and that which is wrong. Instead of being ashamed of what we're doing in our culture today, we are flaunting our sin and we're saying, God, we do not care one whit about what you say or what you desire from us. We are going to do what we want to do. Where is our ability to blush? As a society, I mean, when you begin to take pride in the things that our country is now taking pride in, it tells you how degenerate we have become as a society. Many have lost the ability to blush. with moderation. Modest apparel with propriety and moderation. The idea is soundness of mind, really, literally. Soberness. Sound judgment. Practically expresses the meaning. It is that habitual inner self-government which its constant reign on all the passions and desires which would hinder the temptation to these from arising, or at all events from arising in such strength as would overbear the checks and barriers which eros, as shamefacedness, opposed to it. Again, that's quoting Trench via Vine's Expository Dictionary of Old and New Testament Words. Moderation has the idea of being sensible, wise. We think, and thus we act. It's not about how we feel, it's how we think about what is right, and we do that which is appropriate. To behave in a sensible manner with the implication of thoughtful awareness of what is best. You know, you can go to extremes either direction. You can fall off a log on either side. You can go to an extreme on one hand of being outrageous, and on the other hand of just drawing attention to yourself because you're just so odd. And either way, we need to find that moderate, sensible thing in our path and stay on a straight course. And think about what we're doing. To behave discreetly. To be in harmony with the will of God. Being thoughtful of how our affections or our actions affect others. Moderation. And then Paul says, for women professing godliness. The word here denotes a fear and reverence of God. Now, if a person does not fear God, they're not going to care what I have to say about what the Bible says. They're not going to care about what God thinks. They're going to do what they want to do. But for women who profess godliness, and I don't mean just make the profession with their mouth only. I mean they think, they want to serve God. They're going to listen to what God says. And so for women professing godliness, they're going to respect God's will in the matter of dress. Lunida says, appropriate beliefs and devout practice of obligations relating to supernatural persons and powers, religion, or piety. And then he adds, James 1 and verse 26, if he does not control his tongue, he deceives himself and his religion is worthless. My friend, listen, if we do not do what God tells us to do or live the way that God tells us to live, and we think that we're going to be right with God to begin with, we're deceiving ourselves, and all that we do in our reference to God is worthless. If we're not going to obey Him, then everything we do towards Him is going to be worthless. So women who profess godliness, they're going to respect God's will on this matter. So immodest apparel, look at it from the negative perspective just for a second. What is immodest apparel then? Defined modest as being that which is appropriate, that which is well ordered, that which does not draw attention to ourselves, that which is concerned with others. But what is immodest apparel? You know, it's interesting in both passages that we looked at, in 1 Timothy 2:9 and 1 Peter 3:2, where our dress as Christians is specifically referenced. What is it that is the main subject? You know, it's not how few clothes somebody has on. It's not beach attire although we'll get to that in a second. But the focus is on what? Extraordinary clothing. Clothing, fancy things that says, hey, look how much better I am than you. Look at my clothes. I'm in style. I'm trendy. Wearing fancy clothes or jewelry in order to make a fashion statement? That's what's being talked about in these passages. But when we think of immodest apparel, what do we think of? Well, we need to think about it from a biblical perspective. It can be just as immodest to go to the other extreme as well, you know, as far as instead of fancy hats and jewelry and just audacious attire and saying, "Hey, everybody, here I am. Now we can start." Instead of that kind of attitude, what about going to the other extreme? Instead of nice clothes, we go to wild, crazy clothes. And we see more and more of that. You know, people doing all kinds of things to get attention. Listen, the Christian is not and should not, and we need to learn this and understand this, we should not even desire to get attention of everybody else and say, "Hey, look at me." It's not about drawing attention to ourselves. Immodesty is a pride issue. Anyone who dresses or spends a lot of money for their clothes takes a lot of time to prepare to go out and so that everyone can see how rich we are, or how trendy we are, or how beautiful we are, or even how godly we are. You know, if you think about it, I was looking on one page yesterday that had pictures of the different types of veils that Muslims wear. And of course, you know, start on this side and you've got that one that's all black, you know. You got that one little hole right there. That's it. Everything else is black. And they even have a black screen over that so you can't see the eyes. And then the next one, you've got actually a hole. There's no screen there. And then the next one, they've got a bigger around the face. And then the next one, just a head covering. And so they show the different kinds. But, you know, when we are dressing, I'm not saying it's sinful or wrong to dress in such a way if that's your conscience and if that's in your culture. You may have to do that. But to do it to say, "Hey, look at me now, how godly I am because of what I have on," that's the wrong attitude as well. So, again, we can fall off the log on either side. Now, what about revealing apparel? Short shorts, low-cut dresses and blouses and miniskirts and bikinis, or even one-piece bathing suits. What are we communicating? What do we want to communicate? When a man goes without his shirt in public and wears really short shorts, and this isn't just a woman issue. Now, I do know that from a physiological and psychological and other types of studies that have been done, and understanding also the way that men and women both perceive things, we do see things differently. Men are different than women, not just in our strength and size and all those things, but also the way we think. Men are more drawn, and women really do need to understand this. Men are drawn more strongly, much more strongly, with the eyes than a woman is. The eyes is the avenue through which their senses and their sensual desires are stimulated. And we need to understand that. Not saying that women has no connection or need to worry about this, because they do as well. It's just not as strong in women as it is in men as far as what is seen. But this is an issue for both men and women. We need to think about. Christians should not be saying, "Hey, look at my beautiful body." Christians should not be striving in public to look sexy. Should they? Women should not be striving to go around and get the attention of the opposite sex for the purpose of stimulating them. That's just wrong. Clothes that are too short, or shorts that are too short, revealing the thighs, too low off the shoulders, or too sheer, or too tight. Revealing apparel, we need to think, what are we revealing? Are we revealing our carnality? Or are we revealing our spirituality? Are we revealing, and in the clothes that we wear, we need to think, are we revealing our ungodliness or our godliness? What are we revealing? The more flesh we reveal, the more carnality we reveal, both figuratively and literally. I've used this to illustrate this point before. Picture, well, there's a lady in her kitchen. The doorbell rings, and she hollers out, "Can someone please get that?" And here comes this lady. She says, "I'm dressed, I'll get it." Who is more dressed? And then here comes this one. Says, "It's probably my friends, we're going to Wild River Country." She has undergarments that cover more than this. True? And she wouldn't dare go outside in that, in her undergarments. But if you put the name bathing suit on it, it's fine. No, it's not. No, it's not. Do we understand the concept of modesty and just saying, "Hey, look at me," and showing off? And we need to be thinking about those things. And by the way, Bruce Reeves asked me a while back. He said, just a weird thought. If you're at the mall and this really, really, really large lady comes out and she has this little bikini top and some string tight shorts, is she immodest? And I said, yep, absolutely. That's, of course, she's wanting, I think, to get another type of admirer or attention. But anyway, listen, if we're doing things to get attention, and if what we do does, in fact, get attention, even if that's not our intention, we need to stop and think. I look good in this, and I'm going to wear it regardless of how it affects others. Is that the right attitude? Think. What's the godly attitude? I want the opposite sex to notice me. You know, Paul said in Romans chapter 12, verse 3, to walk in love. And how am I going to be walking in love if I'm doing that which is going to cause somebody else to sin? How am I walking in love when I disregard my impact in the lives of, or the thoughts of other people? Jesus said in Matthew 5, verses 28 through 30, whoever looks upon a woman and lusts after her in his heart, he's guilty of adultery already. Read an article this week about this woman who was defending her right to wear anything she wanted to wear. And she said, you need to teach men not to look. You need to teach men not to think. And I can wear what I want to wear. You can teach men not to look all you want to. If their heart is not 100% focused on God and 100% devoted to God, as Job covenanted with his eyes, that he will not look upon a woman. Good for Job. And that's the way we all need to be. But teaching a man not to look, I don't think that's going to work and be 100% effective. Do you? Listen, I have a responsibility about in regard to those that are around me. I do. I can try to ignore it, but I still have a responsibility about and for those who are around me. And what do I cause them to think? Notice Deuteronomy 23 and verse 2, do not follow a multitude to do evil. Everyone else is doing it. Everyone else is wearing it. If everyone else is wearing it, then it's okay. Listen, if everyone else jumps off a cliff, you're going to jump too. We've heard that. If the whole world has turned against God, if the whole world does what is evil, if the whole world became nudist, that would not justify me, would it? Not in the least. And I hope we all understand that point. Here's the main thought again. We need to be revealing our godliness and our humility, not our flesh and our pride. Reveal our godliness and humility. The Christian woman's attire should be her good works. Going back to 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 10. Should be her good works. The hidden person of the heart, as Peter said it in 1 Peter 3 and verse 4, with incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. It's not the attitude of, hey, everybody, I'm here. Look at me. Aren't I pretty? That's not the godly attitude. Loving their husbands, their children, being homemakers, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be blasphemed. And husbands, men, same qualities as far as being pure and gentle and humble. All of us must develop these godly attitudes and think about others instead of ourselves. And quickly, just real quick note to parents of young children, young girls or boys. Don't allow them. Now, understand this too. Young children, they're going to be young children. A few months ago, well, actually it's been several months ago now, Mackenzie was coming down the center aisle and she was holding up her dress and she was saying, I pee-peed. And she, now there's no guilt there. I mean, she's innocent, pure of heart as it could possibly be as relating to a person. But, okay, what are we talking about here? We're talking about teaching them a style and how to dress and be shamefacedness or to act with propriety and realize that there are things that are private and need to stay that way. And teach them how to dress godly. Teach your children. Don't allow other people to do it. Don't allow the TV to teach them. Don't allow the internet to teach them. Don't allow their friends to teach them. Don't allow the schools to teach them. You teach them. And teach your children in both word and deed. In other words, don't say, no, you're going to dress this way, and then you dress just the opposite. Be consistent. And mothers, do not undermine godly husbands and fathers as they teach. Because listen, especially for young girls, the fathers have this protective instinct, and sometimes they may be a little overprotective, but you know what? I think that's okay. They need to be protected because they know what kind of evil and wickedness is out there. They know how other people think, and they know how men think. You don't know how men think. Be conscious of your husband's direction in this. Do these clothes make me look better than others? Better than you? More important? Higher profile? More in the fashions? These clothes make me look sexy. What is my motive for what I wear? Do these clothes cause other people to look at me and take note? If that's the purpose that I'm wearing my clothing, then I'm wearing immodest apparel. Does my clothing exhibit my admiration and my respect for God? Or does my clothing exhibit pride, selfishness, lasciviousness, carnality? Does my clothing prompt, and can it prompt other people to have evil thoughts? Be modest. Exhibit propriety. Use good judgment. Show godliness. Respect others. These are the principles that the Apostle Paul tells us is God's will. Romans chapter 12 and verse 1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The idea of proving means to exhibit, to manifest, to act, to show. And so, what am I doing in my life? Is it glorifying God, or am I simply striving to do what I want to do? Do these clothes make me look godly? Some things to think about. The weather is turning warm, and this is the time of year that clothes start coming off. So think about these things, and think about what God's will is for you. If we can help you this morning, maybe you're here, you never obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's the main thing that you need to be focused on then right now, is obeying, submitting to God. Submit to God. Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. If you need to obey the gospel by being buried with him in baptism for the remission of your sins, if you're willing to believe, if you do believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, if you're willing to repent of your sins, change your mind and change your actions, if you're willing to confess that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, we can baptize you in Christ right now. If you are a Christian and you're not living as you should, if there's something in your life that you need to correct, we urge you, we plead with you, do it. Be right with God before you leave. If we can help you in any way, won't you come and sing as we stand and sing?